The whole story is a story about stories. It's about books and stories and imagination and reading and love of stories, and how stories can not only help you escape, like Matilda says, they're like a holiday in your head, but they also are like a key, right? She's like using books as a way of unpacking the universe. And she also uses stories to free herself, really.
Hey everyone, I'm Bianca Schultz from the Children's Book Review, and this is the Growing Readers Podcast. I have a really fun episode for you today with some very awesome guests here to talk about Roald Dahl's Matilda the Musical, an adaptation of the Tony and Olivier Award-winning musical. Matilda tells the story of an extraordinary girl who, armed with a sharp mind and a vivid imagination, dares to take a stand to change her story with miraculous results. And to talk about it, I have Tony Award-winning director Matthew Warchus and screenwriter Dennis Kelly, who has adapted the Royal Shakespeare Company's production for the big screen. It features music and lyrics from musician and comedian Tim Minchin, who is also here today. And to top it off, you'll hear from Alicia Weir, who plays none other than Matilda herself. Before we get into it, here is the trailer for Roald Dahl's Matilda the Musical.
What is your name?
Matilda. Matilda Wormwood.
This holiday season, experience the beloved story like never before. Featuring songs by award-winning artist Tim Minchin.
Children are maggots.
Matilda, you're extraordinary.
Roald Dahl's Matilda the Musical. Directed by Matthew Warchus. Rated PG. Only on Netflix December 25th.
Dennis, I believe that you grew up on Roald Dahl's stories, but you came to Matilda as an adult. So I would love to hear you talk about like what really drew you to the story of Matilda and why you knew you wanted to bring Dahl's story to the stage and now to the big screen.
Yeah, I think, that's right. I, like a lot of people, I sort of grew up with Dahl in my head anyway, you know, but I think I was a bit older than the generation that sort of Matilda was really sort of meaningful for. So I had to go back and read it. And I think what I loved about it was just the idea of this little girl just taking on the powers that be. It's a really sort of revolutionary story, you know. But I think what I liked about her as well was there's a line that in the book, I can't ever remember it right, but he sort of says that, you know, Matilda could read, she was clever, she did all this. But actually, if you met her, you'd really like her. You know, she was quite unassuming. She was quite just, she would seem like a normal girl. And like, and I always want to write about normal people. I don't really write superheroes and, you know, queens and politicians. That's not my stuff. I like writing people that are just as bad at stuff as I am, you know. And what I like about Matilda is she just seemed like an ordinary girl, yet at the same time, she's kind of a hero.
Would you be willing to share just a little bit of your writing process? Because a lot of our listeners are readers, writers, and at heart, they just love story. So what does it look to take such a sort of a, you know, a well-known book and turn it into a musical and then turn it into a screen? So I know that's probably like a really long answer, but what's the short answer on what that process looks like?
The awful truth is, the blasphemous truth is, I read the book and then put it down. I felt that anything that I needed would stay with me and I could always go back to the book, you know. So I really read it once and then just went for it, because I think you've got to make it your own. Like, so one of the things that's weird about Matilda is there's a couple of lines like, I think dinners don't microwave themselves, I think, is one of the lines I'm really proud of. And about a few years ago, I realized it wasn't mine. It was Roald Dahl's. And I might even have that wrong because I can't really remember which line I'm talking about, you know. But you sort of lose yourself. You have to make it your own, and it's not yours. You're stealing it from someone else, but you do have to make it all yours so that you can no longer see the differences, you know. And one way of doing that is not to worry too much about what other people think, you know, what it means to other people. If once you start getting involved in all of that, you can't write. It's hard enough to write things without all these monkeys on your back. So you just have to keep it. It's you. It's the material. It's no one else. It's just you and that little girl. And actually, there's not much difference then turning it onto screen. Like when we started this process, it was really just me and Matthew were the only people that were talking. You know, we were, you know, and it was just, it was small. And I think that's the only way you can write, is to keep it small and solve those small problems.
Yeah. Well, Matthew, what about you? You're the director, but did you read Roald Dahl books growing up?
Yeah, I did a few of them. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, James the Giant Peach, I think were the ones that were suitable for my age as I was growing up at that time. So Dennis said something just recently where he said that he'd heard Dahl's writing described as being written, that he was writing with relish. And I thought that is a really great way to describe it. There's such a lot of energy in the writing and rule bending, which is great. And I think the other thing that is particularly true of Matilda and true of everything that Dahl has written, someone once said that he speaks to the adults in children, to the adult in a child, and to the child in an adult. And I think that happens over and over again, and it's a central theme in Matilda, this interesting play between adults and children, and how sometimes, you know, that gets turned upside down. And there's various examples, of course, in Matilda where she's the adult, and Matilda's the adult, and the adults near her are a childlike. I say that because I think that the depth that's in Dahl, as well as the entertaining relish and the colour and the mess of it and the energy, the depth, the emotional depth is a really important factor.
Yeah. Well, and the characters in all of his books are always just so unique and quirky. And particularly in Matilda, we've got such strong characters, you know. So I'm just curious about the casting process. Like how, like when you go into that, do you go in knowing what you're looking for? Or do you go into it and waiting to be surprised and being like, oh, this is it. This is the person that's going to play this character. Like how does that work for you with such like amazing characters to fill?
Well, you know, unusually, Dennis and I and Tim Minchin, who wrote the songs, we all worked on the stage version of this show as well, which was about 13, 14 years ago. We were working on that. And then we're working on the film version now. And so we've spent a lot of time with these characters, and we've seen actually lots of different people play these parts. But there's always been something in common. And also the other thing to remember is that in the book, Quentin Blake did illustrations of the characters, which were very vivid and get stuck in your brain as well. And so they are a kind of outward, kind of physical manifestation of the characters that's partly in your head when you're thinking about them. So, yeah, I think what I've found is that the way Dennis has written this and Tim has written it, the performances, each character is an opportunity for a great actor to perform not only outrageous, exaggerated performance style, but also to have a lot of truth, surprising amount of truth in them and detail. So they respond well to really, what I'm saying is they respond well to really good actors because the material is really good and they've got something to get their teeth into. Yeah. So that's actually the main thing, is like really good actors are drawn to it. And I found that it was such a treat to be able to realize there was such a lot of enthusiasm for people who wanted to play these different parts and such a lot of talent. And I think the cast we ended up with are phenomenal across the board.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to give any spoilers away, but I think one of my favorite lines is Emma Thompson in the scene. It's a little dark and she says, "I've been busy." But she everybody that's listening is just going to go have to watch the movie to know what I'm talking about. But just that little such a simple little line. And it just, that was everything for me.
I think that's actually a really, that line is a very interesting line, because it's Emma brings to that is She brings this sense of absolute madness and danger, but also she's enjoying herself so much doing it that there's still an element of fun. And that's really important, because that character needs danger. She needs to be dangerous. Otherwise, there's nothing for Matilda to fight against. But if she's too dangerous, you know, you've got kids running out of the cinema. So weirdly, Emma manages to do this really strange balancing act where she, you know, allows it to be kind of terrifying, but also doesn't terrify you too much.
Yeah. All right. Well, I want to hear if you each just have a quick highlight, like if you, without obviously a spoiler moment, what would be a highlight either from just being part of the creation or when you're sitting down and watching the final product? Who wants to go first? Matthew?
The whole process of making a big movie out of this, so creating more scale and scope and being able to be outside in nature, by a lake, up in the sky, in the woods, in rain and different weather. These are things that I don't usually get. My background is theatre directing, and I don't usually get to interact with the weather and the natural world. And I love being able to use my imagination and our imagination to say, what if the story went here and what if the story went there? So without, like you say, creating spoilers, there are various moments where we go out and it gets bigger and bigger in a way that would be impossible to contain on stage. And that happens several times in the film. Sometimes it's the scale of the number of people who are in the shot, 200 people in a shot, or sometimes it's to do with where you are geographically or in the weather. And I love that. It's a whole new set of tools and emotional impact available, which I really enjoyed.
I think for me, it's... Matilda tells a story in this, which is totally my invention. And I remember the first time I gave that to Roald Dahl's widow, used to run the Dahl Estate. And I remember the first time giving her the script, thinking, this is really cheeky. I've just written an entire story and jammed it into this. And she was lovely. She really liked it. And actually, it's the resolution of that story. I think the way we've done it in the film is the best it's ever been. And the story is very personal to me, not only because I wrote it, but just for personal reasons. Like, it's something that really means something to me. So to see that kind of realized in this special way on screen is just, I think that's probably my favorite moment.
Hi, Tim.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. You and I actually have something in common. We're both Australian.
All right.
So I imagine that, like me, you grew up on a pretty healthy dose of Roald Dahl books. Am I right?
Yeah, it was completely ubiquitous, wasn't it? I mean, you're obviously younger than me, but it was pretty much in my childhood, Roald Dahl and then other. You know, it was my first book I ever read, I think, was The Magic Finger, my first chapter book. And I read them all, every single one, really, and all the adult ones eventually, all the weird, perverted adult ones. But yeah, very, very influential, BFG, Danny Champion of the World, and probably the least influential being Matilda, because it was very late and I was a teenager by then, but I still read it because I had a little sister and I used that as an excuse to read it.
I love it. That was the same for me, actually. We may not be too far off in age. Matilda was, I was on the cusp of not reading that. So I actually didn't come to Matilda until I was an adult.
Right.
But she's just such a great character. Well, I really want to dive into what it means to create music and lyrics for a show such as Matilda, for both the stage and now for the screen. I have created a couple of picture books, and when you're writing picture books, you have to leave room for the illustrator to breathe so that you're not just repeating the same stuff. So I imagine that there's some sort of dancing between creating music and lyrics that go with the script and the words that the actors are presenting. So will you talk to us a little bit about what it takes to create the music?
Sure. That's a very good observation. And I like how you say words. And that's when the only time I can hear you're Australian-ness. Words. It is a dance, and perhaps like children's books, I don't know how much this happens, but it's a push and pull. So I came to Matilda with Dennis Kelly, having already written an adaptation, a stage adaptation. He's a genius, Dennis, and he had read the book like once, and then he put it aside and wrote this thing, including, before I came on board, creating a whole subplot, which actually solved something, which the novel, you have to do a novel, a children's novel especially, is very episodic. It's chapter by chapter, and a Dahl novel especially, they're really vignettes, especially the first half of Matilda, where she's just doing tricks on her parents and stuff. You actually need a better narrative through line. And Dennis had solved that with the subplot of the acrobat and the escapologist. However, he had left places where he thought there should be songs, and or where he and I guess it was just him. And he had written some ideas for lyrics, and I said, please don't send me the lyrics. I don't want to know what you think the song should be about. Just send me the gaps, because if I'm going to do this project, you have to, so to your point, you have to let me have space, because I'm an okay songwriter, but probably what I'm good at is having ideas for what the song should be about, and I don't need any of your ideas. You know, they might be brilliant, but I can't have them. So that's what happened. And then we sat down and sort of mapped out. I did a whole flow chart with different colors, chorus number, this will be a ballad, and different styles of song had different colors, so I could visualize what these songs would all be like way before I started writing them. And then I wrote them, and I stood all over Dennis's work. And he was like, well, you've rendered this scene redundant. And I'm like, yeah, sorry, bro, it's going to be a musical. And so that was really hard for both of us at times to let the other person's work take responsibility for that. Or that I had an idea for a song that would sort of say the theme of this area of the musical is this, and that really what Miss Honey wants to talk about is her house as a metaphor for herself or whatever. And he would go through and then seed all the things you need to make sure that when it arrives there, inevitably. And the wonderful thing about Dennis and I, with Matthew's guidance and with Chris Nightingale, the music supervisor's guidance, rather than this push-pull process making us butt heads, it sort of made us fall in love. Like, we just made it, like, it was tough at times, and we didn't know each other initially, so it was a bit like, you know, I'm from Australia and he's like from London, and we were like, he didn't know anything about musicals and I didn't really know, you know, we were just acting on pure instinct. But we just slowly realized we adored each other, and we just, like, he wouldn't say that because he's like from London, but but we just make each other laugh and laugh and laugh, and so it was completely joyous.
Excellent.
That's my short answer.
I love it. I love it. Well, so I want to just dive into one specific song, because it's kind of taking over TikTok right now. Yeah. And that's Revolting Children. And I just love that song because of the anarchy and the whole energy between the music, the lyrics, and all those kids charging down the hall. But we're not going to give away any plots here. I just want to read the lyrics here, because I won't sing them. But we are revolting children living in revolting times. We sing revolting songs using revolting rhymes. We'll be revolting children till our revolting's done. And it goes on. And I just love how it all comes. And personally, because one of my favorite Roald Dahl books is Revolting Rhymes, right?
Yeah, I stole that.
Little Red Riding Hood whips a pistol from her knickers. I've always remembered that.
Yeah.
So for me, when I was, you know, watching the movie and listening to the lyrics, like, that just popped out at me right away. But on the bigger level, I love the whole anarchy of it. So how did that song come about for you?
Well, I mean, I think part of what's funny about the TikTok thing is that it's so out of context. I love that people love it, but Revolting Children is the result of a lot of things we've planted. Firstly, it's a result of the whole story is a story about stories. It's about books and stories and imagination and reading and love of stories, and how stories can not only help you escape, like Matilda says, they're like a holiday in your head, but they also are like a key, right? She's like Cinderella, like, you know, she doesn't do that verse in the movie. But Jack and Jill went up there. She's like using books as a way of unpacking the universe. And she also uses stories to free herself, really. And because of that, I wrote a score that was full of games with words and letters. And so there's a whole song earlier in the movie called The School Song, where the alphabet is hidden within the sounds of the song. It's like a magic trick. And so we've planted this idea of that letters are the building blocks of words, and words are the building blocks of chapters, which Eric describes as a chunk of a story, and that chapters are the building blocks of stories and stories are the building blocks of life, right? And then you have this moment when the baddie eventually says, we're going to have a spelling test and anyone who gets a single word wrong is going to choke you. So it all comes down to letters in the end, this whole story. And then we have this whole song that goes, we R-E-V-O-L-T-I-N-G, we sing, we S-I-N-G, U-S-I-N-G, we sing songs using rhymes, and will be R-E-V-O-L-T-I-N-G. It is 2L-8-4-U-E-R-E vaulting. It's just playfulness with letters. And then, of course, it's also built on a pun that we've built up this whole idea that Matilda is a rebel, that she has started a revolution. So they are revolting. It is a revolt. And I'm not sure how many TikTok people have even got that pun. But it's a classic old pun, you know, the children are revolting. So we've built all these building blocks leading towards that moment. And that, I mean, you know, I can be a total sort of, I'm trying to think of the non-swear word, W-A-N-K-R. I can be a up in my own head about this, because this musical does work on lots and lots of layers. But Revolting Children is a song of revolution, and it's got all this angularity with the 7/8 time signature and stuff, but in the end it's meant to make kids want to jump off desks and punch the air and stand up for what they believe in, and sometimes that means fighting, you know.
Yes, I loved it. It was such a release. It's such a release part of the movie. So I am curious, because I love Naughty and I love Revolting Children, I'm curious if you have a favorite song.
Well, Quiet probably is always my favorite song, because it's very unusual. It's especially unusual for that moment in a musical, like that late, the protagonist singing a song that goes that still. And it's actually very, very effective in the movie. It's always been very effective in the musical, but in the movie it's very beautiful, I think. I'm not talking about the song, I'm talking about the way it's done, the way Matthew shot it, and Chris's incredible orchestrations. It's very emotional. It's also very special to me because I get lots of letters from parents and kids who are on the autism spectrum about that song. So I sort of accidentally wrote an ASD anthem because a lot of autistic people and some really special people in my life have identify that song as being a real moment for them, where they felt like they were seen. And so I'm very emotional about that song. I feel very lucky to have accidentally done that, because when you make stuff, and you must be the same, you hope people have their own experience with it. That's the dream, right? Is you give them what you think it is, but they bring their stuff to it, and you hope that it means something to them. And some of the stuff I've been told about that song, it's just, you feel, yeah, very, very lucky that you've been able to open a door or something to people like that. It's very cool.
I feel like that's the magic of art, right?
Yeah, exactly. You just don't know who you're going to affect and how, but if you try and write something authentic, you've got a pretty good chance you'll affect someone somehow. Yeah.
So you mentioned just a minute ago when you were talking about lyrics, and you said, oh wait, no, that's not in that. That's not in the movie. Yes. So yeah. I'm just curious, with anyone that's maybe seen the stage production, there are a couple of differences. Do you want to speak quickly on what people could expect there?
Well, it's when you've bought a 80 quid ticket and a 50 quid train seat and a hotel room, and you're taking your family to London to see a musical in Seven Dials, or you've come to Broadway, you know, it's perfectly acceptable to have 2.5 hours in the theatre. You know, you go in and you get this huge experience, and you go out and get your popcorn and your drinks, and you go back in and there's a whole second act, and that's all fine. You can't do a 2.5 hour long family film. It just, it's not acceptable. You probably can, but you don't want to. You want people to just barrel through it. So a couple of the most fun songs in the musical, they're really sort of cabaret moments. They're like Mrs. Wormwood's song Loud is really a satire. I mean, it says something about Mrs. Wormwood, but it says stuff you could get out of two lines. But what it is a quite searing satire on anti-intellectualism. It's really about one of the world's great problems, which is that loud opinions get heard and good opinions don't. But in the musical, it's a celebration of that attitude. You know, it's like she says, the less you have to say, the louder you sell it, you know. And she says, what you know matters less is what you know matters less than the volume with which what you don't know is expressed. I mean, it's a Trumpian anthem, you know. You just don't have time to spend that time in a movie, and you don't want to spend that time. You want to really stick to the protagonist and to Miss Honey, and you want to get to that school, and you want to have them come up against the real enemy in Miss Trunchbull. You just need that narrative drive. It's a different genre. So we lost that. We lost Telly. The tough one was we lost Knock on the Door, that pathetic song, which speaks to Miss Honey's attitude about herself and has the fastest lyrics in a musical, very, very fast lyrics. It has, perhaps I'll wait, she's probably having a meeting or something and won't want to be interrupted, if anything, caution in this, that bit. Anyway, we lost that. And we lost a couple of bits. We cut Miracle down. On the other side, I got to write a new song to end the film, which for me is the greatest joy of this whole adaptation. As a writer, the greatest joy has just been watching it. But as a writer, I got to go back, sort of walk back into that aesthetic playroom and tie the whole thing up in a nice neat bow. And I love that. I really like the new song. It's very simple, but very it does its job, I think.
Well, you definitely did your job. It was such a joy to listen to, such a celebration of music and capturing all the different emotions. And as I said, for me, it was the anarchy scene that just, you know, it does it for me.
It's so but cool, isn't
thank
it?
Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure, Bianca.
Well, hello, Alicia.
Hello.
Your sister posted a video of you online when you got the great news that you were going to play the role of Matilda. Do you want to tell us what went through your mind when you got that news?
Well, so it was on my mum's birthday, the 10th of December, and I think I was just doing like some sort of class beforehand, and my mum was like, Matthew, the director, wants to have a chat with you. So my whole family was there, my mum, my dad, my two sisters. I didn't really know what to think or what to expect, because I knew that so many incredible kids auditioned, so I didn't want to get too excited. I didn't really know what to do. I was quite nervous just to find out, because I was just really like, I just really wanted to know. But I knew that so many incredible kids like auditioned. So my sister was like, I'll record it and just see like what, if it's a yes or a no. And she was like, if it's a no, then we'll delete it straight away. And I was like, okay. And when I got the part, I just burst into tears. I don't think you can really like plan beforehand what kind of reaction you're going to have until you're in the situation and it happens. I just burst into tears. I think me and my whole family were just really, really shocked. We couldn't believe it. After the call, we were just kind of like staring at each other like, what do we do now? What's just happened? Like, we were just so excited, and it was just amazing.
Matilda is one of my favorite ever book characters. So I would love to know, what was it about Matilda that you were most excited to even audition for the role?
Well, I think that like, even like from the book, from the musical, from the movie, I think Matilda's just a really iconic character. And I think everyone loves Matilda, because she's just, no matter what age you are, I think we can all learn something off Matilda. So to get the opportunity to play Matilda was just absolutely crazy. And although it's since I've filmed it, now that it's coming out, it's very surreal and it hasn't sunk in yet. I don't know when it will, but it definitely hasn't. But I was just really, really grateful to get the opportunity, and I was really, really excited to play and the part. And when me and Matthew like talked about the character and how I was going to go about it, like talked about some words that would describe her, like strong and courageous. So I was really, really excited to play her.
Yeah. So what kind of work did you have to do to really get into the mindset of playing Matilda?
Well, I think when they said action, I just completely take myself out of my shoes. And that was one of my favorite parts, because I got to play a completely different person and just leave myself completely behind when they said action and go through her life and how she would have felt and just try to make it as real as possible and imagine that I was going through the situation like Matilda is. So when they said action, I just tried to switch into Matilda, and then when they'd say cut, just switch back into Alicia.
How does that feel at the end of the day? Do you feel pretty exhausted switching between two different people?
No, not really.
That's good. Then you're obviously made for the job. I want to talk about some of the music and some of the lyrics that are in Matilda the Musical. So Tim mentioned he is the music composer, and there's a specific song that is the first song you sing, which is Naughty. And I'm going to read the lines. I'm not going to sing them because everybody will turn the podcast off. So it's just because you find that life's not fair, it doesn't mean that you just have to grin and bear it. And also there's the line, sometimes you have to be a little bit, and do you want to say it?
Naughty.
Naughty, exactly. And I think that the message in that song just really sets up what the movie is all about.
Well, I think when you like listen to that song, it basically describes Matilda as a person and her character. It's just like when you like listen to it, or if you're an adult or if you're a kid, I think we can all like learn something off Matilda. And even in that song, sometimes you have to be a little bit naughty. If you're put into that situation, then it's okay to be, and you're just giving them a taste of their own medicine, like for their parents, for her parents, and for Trunchbull. So in that situation, it's okay. And another one of my favorites is Quiet, because that's really when you get to like listen to everything that's going on inside of Matilda's head, and she just lets it all out, and you really listen to the words that she's saying and the lyrics. And I think that's another one that I just really like. And when you listen to those songs, you really feel like the character and explains who she is.
Alicia, since this is the Growing Readers podcast, I want to point out one of my favorite lines that you say, and it's also why I'm a huge fan of Matilda, the character. She says, "What I really like is reading. It's like a holiday in your head." I want to know, do you like reading?
Yes, I do. I like reading, and like we do it in school a lot. And like, I also like, because I do like different types of sports and stuff like that. I do like reading. I wouldn't be as big as a book nerd as Matilda, but I do really like reading and enjoy when we do it in school. So yeah.
Do you have a favorite book?
Well, at the moment, I'm reading A Good Girl's Guide to Murder. I've only started it. But I'm really enjoying it.
I have a teenage daughter, and she is also reading that book right now. So that's fun. I imagine that you're pretty busy right now with the movie. Pretty soon it's going to be on Netflix for everybody. I imagine you probably don't really get a ton of time to actually sit down and read right now. Would that be fair?
Yes, because it's like now coming out, it's only kind of kicked off, and like, I go into two completely different worlds. Like, when I'm at home in school with my friends, I'm just Alicia. And then when I do this kind of stuff and interviews and press for Matilda, and when I watch it, I think I just go into a completely different world. And I absolutely love both worlds. But yeah.
Yes. I think one of my favorite actresses is Emma Thompson. And Emma Thompson plays Mrs. Trunchbull in Matilda. And I want to know what it was like for you to work with Emma Thompson. And I also want to know what it's like to be called a little maggot.
Children are maggots.
Well, it was because like when I found out that I was going to be working with like all of that, like all of these amazing actors, I was a little bit nervous. But when I got there, they were all so kind to me and really made me feel welcome. And one of the bits that I loved the most was that I got to learn off of them and look up to them as such, because they'd had a lot more experience than I had. So I was really able to just learn off of them, because there was a lot of things that I didn't know that they would. So I was just trying to like be like them.
Yeah. And what do you think about the Mrs. Trunchbull character?
Well, when I first saw Emma, she didn't have any of like her costume or her prosthetics on. And then when I did see her in all like her costume, it was scary. But then when she went like put her arms out like this and all the kids, we just sprint over to her and gave her a big hug. So I knew that like under all the costumes and the prosthetics, there was Emma.
I love it. I love it. The I think all the costumes and the makeup were so wonderful. So I want to ask you some rapid fire questions. So I'm going to ask you some favorite questions, okay? And what is your favorite song in the movie?
Quiet.
What is your favorite scene?
The assault course.
Who is your favorite character? Is that too hard?
Well, like, other than Matilda, I don't know.
Too hard to play favorites. All right. Well, before we go, I would love to know, is there anything special that you would like to share with listeners or anything you want people to know before they come to see the movie or watch it on Netflix?
I think that when you watch it, hopefully that all of the characters really intrigue you and you kind of go into this story with them, and it's like you're really in the events with them. So I really feel like hopefully the main message that you take away and from the characters just to be really strong and have loads of courage and be really courageous like Matilda.
Oh, that's beautiful. Well, Alicia, thank you so much for spending some of your day with me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
You did an amazing job as Matilda. You should be really proud of yourself.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. And then to close us out, I have one final question. And what impact do you hope that this movie has on its audience?
Well, I think that's an interesting question because you'd be surprised how you, when you're making something, you don't think about the audience and what they're going to feel too much. Other than I would say this, years ago when Dennis first sent me his first script, I felt very passionate about it. I loved it. And I felt excited about it, and it made me laugh and it made me cry. And it felt like it was hugely entertaining and also deeply moving and important somehow, like it had a message within it or an idea within it for how to make the world better. And it's very rare that an entertainment can contain such riches. So I thought all I want is my job as a director is to try to make the audience feel some of those same things that they really care about it, they love it, that they laugh, they cry, they're entertained, and also they get something of substance from it as well.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, Dennis, I want to thank you for being cheeky with the storyline because it was so fun. I'm an avid reader of the books. I've been to see the stage production and now I've seen the movie, and it's just so fun to just see it keep, like, you know, finding new life and a new way to deliver. And it was just done outstandingly. But thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for joining us on this quest for growing readers. Be sure to check out our show notes. You'll find a link to the trailer of Roald Dahl's Matilda the Musical. If you like this show, remember you can hear it on Apple Podcasts, Chromecast, Spotify, or anywhere else you enjoy listening. Subscribe to the show to get new episodes as soon as they launch. If you're enjoying our chats, please leave us a review. And while you're at it, tell a friend to come and have a listen. The Growing Readers Podcast is a production of the Children's Book Review. To discover more fantastic books, I hope you'll visit us at thechildrensbookreview.com.